We'll get started this morning, excuse me, this evening, Haggai chapter 1. I had formerly decided that I was going to preach from John chapter 8 tonight, but I changed my mind and decided to preach from the book of Haggai. So that's where we'll be this evening. Young men shouted for joy as old men wept while the foundation of the temple was being laid. The year was about 536 BC, and a remnant of Jewish exiles have just returned from Babylonian captivity, and they have made their way into Jerusalem. And when they arrive in the city, they realize that the city of God is a wasteland. The walls have been smashed, the temple has been destroyed, and the splendor is gone. The city of God is lying in ruins. But despite all of the devastation around them, as the builders laid the foundation of the temple, everyone shouted for joy. They cried out, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The city was full of emotion. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 13 that there was so much shouting, so much joy, so much jubilation, so much music, so much weeping, so much noise, that the sound of joyful shout could not be determined from the sound of weeping, because the people shouted with a great shout. And this sound made its way to the ears of enemy oppressors. This sound woke the enemies of God. And sadly, this sound caused the enemies of God to discourage God's people from working on the temple for 16 years. For 16 years, the temple of God was half done. For 16 years, the children of Israel were spiritually stagnant. For 16 whole years, God's people had no love, no care, no concern, and no emotion for the things of God. And so at this 16-year mark, the Lord calls upon the prophet Haggai to come to Jerusalem and tell the people to get to work. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon Haggai, and Haggai delivered this message to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest of Judah. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 2, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." The people said the time hasn't come. This isn't the right opportunity. This isn't the great hour for us to rebuild the house of God. But God could see past the lies. He could see past the hypocrisy. He could see past the excuses. And he says to the people in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 4, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? You say you have no time, you say you have no opportunity, you say this isn't a good hour for us to build, but yet you have so much time, you have so much opportunity, you have all of this convenience to build your own nice, comfortable, secure, paneled houses, while my house lies in ruins. You're so focused on yourselves, you're so consumed with yourselves, you're so consumed with satisfying your wishes, your wills, your desires, and your wants, focusing on me, myself, and I, that you have forgotten about the great I am." God sent Haggai to the scene to tell the people to get to work. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 8. The prophet continues to say, "Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. for 16 whole years. The children of Israel were focused on themselves. They were focused with satisfying themselves while God's house lied in ruins. They essentially strove to glorify themselves while God was not glorified. God has come on the scene and he has told the people, this is the time that I am glorified. This is not about you. This is all about me. And these words strike the hearts of the children of Israel, and they obey the voice of the Lord. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest with all of the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of God, the Lord of hosts, their God. For 16 whole years, the people were spiritually stagnant. For 16 whole years, they failed to work. For 16 whole years, they were only focused on themselves. God sends Haggai on the scene to tell the people to get to work, and they worked. They worked, they worked, they worked, and they worked. And about a month later, sadly, many of those who worked grew very, very discouraged. Many of the older men, the aged, who saw the former glory, the former beauty, and the majesty of the temple 70 years prior during the days of Solomon, began to weep. They're mourning, they're lamenting as they think about the past splendor and consider now that the temple is simply a foundation being rebuilt. They're weeping, they're crying, they're mourning, they're discouraged. But Haggai comes on the scene a second time, and he encourages the people to keep working. Keep working. Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 4. The prophet says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. What God is saying to his people through his prophet is, don't be discouraged. Keep working. Be strong. Be courageous. Know that. The latter glory will be far more glorious than the former glory. Don't dwell on the past. Don't think about what the temple used to be. Think about what the temple will be. I am with you. Be strong. Keep working. And so the people work. They work. They work. And they work. And 2 months later, the prophet comes on the scene for the third time, and he reminds the people why it is important that they keep working on this temple. In Haggai chapter 2, starting in verse number 15, the prophet says, now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? Consider, before you began building this temple, during that 16-year period of spiritual stagnation, how did you fare? Verse 16. When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. What God is saying to his people through his prophet is, when you follow me, when you pursue me, when you obey me, when you work, I will bless you physically. But when you do not follow me, when you satisfy your own wish, your own will, and your own desire, you will struggle physically. Here in this passage, Haggai is reminding the people of how they struggled physically when they did not work on the temple of God. God sent them blight. He sent them mildew. He sent them hail. They struggled. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 6, the prophet speaks about how those who sowed harvested little. Those who ate could never be filled. Those who drank were never satisfied. Those who put clothes on their back were never warm. Those who worked put their money in bags with holes. The people struggled physically when they did not pursue the Lord. But friends, when they pursued the Lord, when they obeyed the Lord, when they were focused on the things of God, when they kept working, God blessed them physically. Haggai chapter 2, verse 18, the prophet continues to say, consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But, from this day on, what is he going to do? I will bless you. Why is he going to bless them? Because they are pursuing him. Why is he going to bless them? Because they are focused on spiritual things. Why is he going to bless them? Because they have kept working on the temple of God. They are pursuing the Lord. God blesses those who pursue him. God blesses those who are focused on spiritual things. God blesses those who keep working. That was his third message. And so they work and they work. And on the same day, the Lord sends the prophet to the scene a fourth time. And he tells them, not only is God going to bless you physically if you keep working, but God is going to bless you spiritually if you continue to pursue spiritual things. Haggai chapter 2, starting in verse number 20. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord. Here in this passage, what God is saying to his people is, there is going to come a day when I'm going to shake all of the kingdoms around you. I'm going to destroy all of these oppressive nations. You are going to be exalted, and I'm going to make your governors Zerubbabel like a signet ring. What is a signet ring? A signet ring is a ring that is worn by a ruler. It is a ring that is worn by a ruler with that ruler's name and his inscription on it. That ruler would stamp that ring on paper or clay. And this stamp would show that this ruler owns whatever piece of paper, clay, or property it was stamped on. It is an expression of ownership. We see this all throughout the Bible. In the Song of Solomon chapter 8 in verse number 6, the Shulamite girl urges her beloved to set her on his heart and on his arm to make sure that she was his. And so the point that God is making to the children of Israel and to Zerubbabel in Haggai chapter 2 is, you are mine, Zerubbabel, you are mine. And that promise that was promised to your forefather Abraham centuries ago will be fulfilled through you, and it will ultimately be realized through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to bless the entire world spiritually. Christ came to this earth to save the entire world from sin, Satan, and death. What God is saying to his people is, not only am I going to bless you physically, but I'll bless you spiritually. In Matthew chapter 1, as Matthew is listing the genealogy of Jesus, he mentions Zerubbabel in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 12. The text says, Matthew 1, verse 12, and after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Verse 13, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud. Several generations are listed, Verse 16, the text continues to say, "And Jacob was the father of Joseph, who is the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ." Again, the point that was made in Haggai chapter 2 is, Zerubbabel, from you, the Messiah would come who will save this entire world from spiritual destruction. And so, for 16 whole years, the children of Israel were spiritually stagnant. For 16 whole years, they did nothing for the Lord. They were only focused on themselves. They were only focused on satisfying their own wishes, their own will, and their own desires. God sends Haggai the prophet on the scene to tell them to get to work, get busy, and keep working. When you keep working, God will bless you physically, and God will bless you spiritually. Wonderful things happen to God's people when they work for the Lord. Today is June the 5th, 2019. And sadly, there are many people in our world who quite frankly need to get to work. There are a lot of people in our world today who are dead. When they came up from the watery grave of baptism, when their spiritual foundation was first laid, they were on fire. They rejoiced. They praised God. Everything was great. But sadly, in time, some things happened. In time, their spiritual foundation just sat there because all of the cares, all of the pleasures, all of the desires of this world choked out all of the spiritual goodness, and it replaced spiritual goodness with spiritual stagnation. Sadly, there are a lot of people in our world today, people who wear the name of Christ, people who profess to be Christians, who are spiritually stagnant. They have failed to work. There's no more love in their hearts than there was when they first became Christians. There's no more peace in their hearts before now than it was when they first became Christians. No more patience, no more kindness, no more goodness, no more faithfulness, no more gentleness, no more self-control. They haven't grown. They're still drinking milk. They haven't consumed solid food. They haven't grown. They're spiritually dead. Unfortunately, many people have been this way for quite some time. Maybe a day, perhaps a week, maybe a month, or perhaps 16 years, just like the children of Israel. 16 whole years of no growth. 16 whole years of not pursuing the things of God. 16 whole years of simply going through the motions. 16 whole years of spiritual stagnation. Whatever the length of time may be, today is the day to get to work. Whether you've been spiritually stagnant for 5, 10, 15, 20, however long it may be, today is the day to get to work. Because we are living in a very dark and dismal world. We are living in a world that is violently opposing godliness. People who promote Christ are being humiliated, while people who denounce the Lord and denounce Christ are being exalted. We are living in perilous times. And people who wear the name of Christ, people who have called on the name of the Lord from a good conscience at some point in their life, need to step up and get to work. We have no time, no opportunity to be spiritually stagnant and lazy. All of us need to be busy in the kingdom of God, because this world is a very, very dark and difficult place to live in. And God needs all of his men, all of his women, all of his soldiers to rise up and work. We must work. Well, Tim, I'm afraid. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to people. I'm afraid what my friends will think about me. I'm afraid of what my family will think. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of not meeting other people's expectations. Friends, failure is not an excuse the fear of failure is not an excuse for spiritual stagnation. The fear of not knowing what to say is not an excuse for spiritual stagnation. The fear of being mistreated by others, the fear of losing friends, and the fear of losing family members is not an excuse for spiritual stagnation. Fear is no excuse. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the story of a master who was about to go on a long journey. And before he went on this journey, he distributed talents to three different men. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. The one who had 5 talents went and made 5 more talents. The one who had 2 talents went and made 2 more talents. But the one who had 1 talent didn't make any more talents. Why? Because he was afraid. He buried his talent. And when the master returned, the master said to him in Matthew chapter 25, in verse number 26, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." You wicked, you slothful person who has been spiritually stagnant. You wicked and you slothful servant who have not worked in my kingdom, who has not been busy in my kingdom. In this passage, we see it is very, very clear that fear is no excuse for spiritual stagnation. God expects all of his servants to be busy and to get to work. We must continue to learn. We must continue to grow. We must continue to teach. We must continue to preach. We must continue shining our light. We must continue being the salt of the earth. We must work. We have no time to rest. Fear is not an excuse for spiritual stagnation. And neither is contentment. Tim, I have everything that I need. I have everything that I want. I'm doing enough for the Lord. I'm teaching enough. I'm reading my Bible enough. I'm praying enough. I'm doing just enough to get by. I'm doing just enough not to get withdrawn from. I'm showing up to church just enough so people won't ask questions. I'm reaching out to other people just enough so people will think I'm friendly. I'm doing just enough. No. God wants us to do more than enough. We can't be content. There's no room for spiritual contentment. We must continue to learn. We must continue to grow. We must strive to do more in the kingdom. Will we always succeed? No, but we must strive. We must try. We must put forth an effort. Contentment is no excuse for spiritual stagnation. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the story of a very, very rich man. This rich man had a whole lot of property. He had so much property that he didn't know where he was going to put it all. And so he says, "I'm just going to tear down these barns and build bigger barns." And Jesus continues to say that the Lord came to this man and said to him in verse 20, "God said, 'You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This man had so much wealth, so much property. He built bigger barns. He stored this wealth and he just chilled the rest of his life. God called him a fool. God called him a fool because he was content. He was too content. He didn't want to grow. He didn't want to work. We can't be too satisfied with where we are. We have to continue to learn. We have to continue to grow. We have to continue to strive to encourage others. We have to continue to strive to build up the kingdom of God. We cannot rest. There's no time to rest. This world is too dark. This world is too difficult and too dismal for us to sit back and relax. We can't chill like this rich fool. We must continue to work. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Galatia, says in verse number 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The children of Israel during the days of Haggai were sowing to the flesh. For 16 whole years, they were focused on satisfying themselves. They were sowing to the flesh and they reaped corruption. They had no food. They had no wine. They had no wheat. God sent hail. He sent pestilence. He sent mildew. They couldn't keep themselves warm. They were never filled. They were never satisfied. They put their money in bags with holes. They sowed to the flesh. They were focused on themselves and they reaped corruption. But when Haggai came on the scene and he told the people to get to work, when he came on the scene and told the people to keep working, they reaped wonderful, wonderful physical and spiritual blessings. And so the point is, if we spend our lives, if we spend the time that the Lord has blessed us with on this side of heaven, sowing to the flesh, only thinking about ourselves, only thinking about our own comfort, our own satisfaction, only thinking about the here and now. If that is our focus, then we're going to reap corruption. Because the things in this world will not last. The things that we often are so enamored with will perish. It will all be burned up and destroyed. We cannot spend our lives focused on material things. We'll reap corruption. But when we spend our lives focused on things that are eternal, when we spend our lives pursuing the Lord, when we spend our lives working for the Lord, when we realize that, yes, this life is difficult, yes, this life has challenges, but I want to keep working for God. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to continue to work. I'm going to look at the latter glory, the glory to come. If we have that perspective, then we're going to reap eternal life. Paul continues to say in this text, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. In Haggai chapter 2, the children of Israel reaped because they did not give up. They kept working. They stayed busy. God blessed them physically and he blessed them spiritually. And if we stay busy, if we keep working, if we keep our eye on the prize, not allowing Satan and his vices to throw us off course, then the Lord will bless us both physically and spiritually. And the Lord returns from heaven with a cry of command, a trumpet sounds and that archangel shouts and all of the dead in Christ rise up and those who are alive and remain will be caught up with him in the air. Oh, what a glorious day. That's what we can look forward to. The latter glory is so much greater. It is so much greater than what we see in the here and now. Stay focused on the prize and work. If you're here this evening and you realize that you have been spiritually stagnant, if you're here this evening and you are no different than you were when you first became a Christian, get to work. Today is the day to get to work. We need you to work. God needs you to work. This world, this dying spiritually needs you to work. Jude says we have a responsibility to snatch others from the fire and save them. We have the gospel. We know the truth. We know about eternal life. Let's tell other people about eternal life. Let's show by our actions and our example eternal life. We must get to work. If you haven't gotten to work, today is the day to do so. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't laid that spiritual foundation, tonight's the perfect opportunity to lay that spiritual foundation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, If you believe that he came to this earth in flesh and blood to suffer and to be mistreated and to ultimately be killed and rise on the third day so that you can have eternal life. If you believe that, then make a confession. Make it known that you believe that. And after you make that great confession, you can have your sins completely washed away, clean. And you can rise out of the watery grave of baptism, walking in newness of life, working for the Lord. If we can help you in any spiritual way this evening, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Imagine this goes very well. When you get to work, this song is all about that. We'll sing all.